Well, hello everyone. Today I'm going to be talking about liberalism's worst idea. What is it? Before I get going though, been a lot of complaints recently about me banging on the table. And if you remember, I got in this pillow as a kind of defense. But what happens is that my daughter, known as AAA Online, sometimes comes here on the weekend because it's nice around here. There's lots of things to see, nature and so on. We did a bit of gardening last weekend here. And every time she comes here, she moves this pillow. She went and hid it in a cupboard for some reason. She finds it funny for some reason to move my pillow. But now I've retrieved it, I found it, and hopefully it will cushion the blows when I get a bit carried away. And there's every risk of that today. Before I get going, pick up a course at the academic agency. Trivium, buy it now. Foundations of Research, if you want to know how I quickly pull together information and facts. Videos like this one. Many other great courses are available. Now, this started when Stelios, remember a couple of weeks back, I had a bit of a back and forth with Stelios, who is still a liberal. And he asked on Twitter, what is the worst theory of all time and why? And I quote tweeted that, again, not trying to dunk on Stelios in particular, just answering his question, with the liberal idea that the differences between human groups is only cosmetic, has to be up there. This single idea is responsible for trillions of dollars of wasted money and an almost limitless level of cultural and social devastation and moral degradation. Now, I want to break down this video into three separate sections to break down this post that I've made further, to provide evidence for the claims that I make, to kind of buttress it with theory, and finally, to kind of go beyond, to kind of, how can I say, talk about the fundamental issue even beyond the symptoms, which I'm about to talk about, okay? So the three parts of the video are, one, the evidence of the costs, two, the theoretical background to what has led to this, and third, the problems even beyond what I've, this evidence I'm about to present. So one of the things I wanted to do is to actually try to calculate, to try to quantify what the actual costs, the direct costs have been of pursuing a policy of multiculturalism in the name of the idea that all peoples anywhere in the world are the same and the differences between them are only skin deep, only cosmetic, okay? So I got stats. I looked at anti-discrimination laws. I looked at minority businesses. Governments actually give a leg up. You know, if you happen to be non-white, they give a leg up to minorities. Affordable housing. In America, that is called HUD. H-U-D. Welfare and minority assistance, known online as GIBS. And fifth, gender and racial equity initiatives. And I looked across USA, EU, and UK and added together all of the costs of that from 1957 till now, where there's a great increase, by the way, after the Civil Rights Act in 65 in America. The EU has always been keen on this sort of stuff. Britain, if you don't know, also had kind of Race Relations Act, I think, in 65. So it's funny, across the West, there's harmonization of these kind of various anti-discrimination laws. They all come in at the same time, which you might expect from the American Empire. And the actual costs are, for USA, $20 trillion has been spent on attempts to equalize differences between the races. in the EU, it's $15 trillion. And in Britain, it's $700 billion, which, considering the size of the British economy compared to the other two, is actually a sizable amount of money. So the grand total is in and around $36 trillion spent by the quote-unquote West, and I'm not including Canada and Australia in that, and I bet you Canada and Australia have spent similar amounts on this as well. So you know, you could probably round it up to 40 once you add in New Zealand, Australia and Canada into the mix as well. I'm sure some Canadians will have some decent stats for me on that. Now, I know, so somebody like Stelios, he's a classical liberal. I've been fighting with libertarians recently, and they will rightly point out, they'll say, well, AA, the trouble is with your arguments here is that it was socialists who did that, wasn't it? It wasn't liberals. It was socialists who did that. Liberals, they don't say we need to equalise outcomes. They say we need equality of opportunity. Trouble is that the one idea inevitably leads to the other idea. And I have a whole series of videos on libertarianism as the handmaiden to socialism. The second issue comes about from the actual dogma in liberal theory itself. And this is where I'm going to go into the theoretical section. Okay. Every liberal thinker sees individuals as interchangeable units that can basically be swapped in and swapped out. It doesn't matter if you're British or African or Chinese or Saudi Arabian. You're an interchangeable unit. If you go back to Jeremy Bentham and John Stuart Mill, the utilitarian calculation, there's no difference. There's no like force multiplier for one set of people. They're all the same. They're all treated as basically the same. If you read Mises, he's got a whole chapter in Human Action on how logic does not change depending on the different peoples, right? So race or, racial characteristics or where you come from, none of those things change the fundamental logic, because it's the logic of the market that matters. And that is seen as the great equalizer. So Mises, for his part, also basically acquiesces to this liberal dogma. Some libertarians like to cope and go back to the likes of John Locke. As well, they'll say, look, John Locke, he was pretty racist, wasn't he? They, in John Locke's time, didn't see certain other groups as human, even, to justify slavery. And Locke, I think, owned slaves and also wrote something, I think, for the state of Virginia, which made this differentiation between slave owners and slaves. And basically, it was argued that some people weren't even human, okay? But this, really speaking, was a Schmittian exception they were making. It was an unprincipled exception. And if you then have a look at the history of liberalism, the logic of Locke's ideas, the blank slate, and the fact that people are these interchangeable units, that there's no real differences between people, that logic then does away, it dissolves the Schmittian distinction, the Schmittian exception they were trying to make there in the 17th, 18th centuries. And obviously then, those categories of human and non-human that they try to erect were abolished. And I'm not saying, by the way, that we need to go back to these justifications of slavery and so on. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that the liberal logic actually destroyed that idea, and it was because they were working in the framework of liberalism that they did that. Liberalism was then used as the pretext for expanding the franchise, abolishing slavery, expanding the franchise, giving women the votes, expanding the franchise to include all groups, expanding the franchise to include immigrants. All of these things were done in the name of and using the logic of liberalism. The fact that there were some, you know, leftists who then tried to make certain things rights after that is neither here nor there, because guess what? That's what leftists always do. Libertarianism opens the gates, and socialism then comes in and says, and kind of locks in those gains. Always. Always happens. That's why libertarianism is the handmaiden to socialism. And that brings me to the third point, which is that even if you say, well, all of those measures, all of that $40 trillion spent, failed money, by the way, a failed experiment, a failed attempt to equalize the difference between different groups, even if you accept that that is like just socialism and we need to go back to the idea of equality of opportunity, still has problems. For one, the different groups don't even get on. All around the West at the moment, there is ethnic conflict between these different groups who have different values, who have different cultures, who have different priorities, ways of engaging with the world, different religions. And the liberal argument is something like, well, all of those other groups need to kind of be made to think like us. Well, one problem is they don't want to think like, they don't even want to think like you, okay? The second problem is that their culture and culture in general is downstream of who the people are. It is an expression of something deeper. That is why people like Gobineau said civilization is incommunicable. You can wear the clothes, you can adopt some of the customs and so on, but there's something deeper there, and it's never going to take fully. And because of that, because those differences persist across decades and centuries, you're never gonna have the situation where all the peoples of the world are just these interchangeable units. There are other problems too. Equality of opportunity, you keep on saying. You don't actually get equality of opportunity when one set of people, Asians, Chinese, Indians, very notably, certain other groups as well, engage in kind of rampant in-group preference, nepotism. They think in a collectivist way. They help each other out. They give leg ups to themselves, and they keep everybody else out. And they get ahead, those people, using those tactics. Whereas you've got people like Jordan Peterson and James Lindsay and maybe even Stelios telling everybody else, all of the kind of European populations, no, for you, you don't get to do collective action in that way. You have to operate by individualism. In 1964, Mancor Olson wrote a book called The Logic of Collective Action, which all of these civil rights groups, all of these minority groups read and then used as a manual. Mancor Olson said, in a democracy, minority groups are going to get their way 10 times out of 10 because the majority can't all focus on the same thing at the same time. Whereas the minority cares about their little thing more than everyone else. And because of various things, that means they end up getting their way. That playbook works. And what people like Peterson are saying to you is that you're not allowed to use that playbook. The Mancor Olson playbook is not for you. It is only for minority groups. And guess what? That means you will lose 10 times out of 10. That means they will continue to fleece trillions upon trillions of dollars from the majority population, while also eventually making that majority population a minority. It strikes me that these kind of colorblind, race-blind ideas, kind of liberalism's stupidest idea, which is that the differences between human groups are only skin deep, are all the same underneath. This whole idea, I would suggest, it came about as a political convenience after World War II, especially given who lost World War II. And basically people turned a blind eye, they swept things under the rug, political correctness developed, all of these things that you're not meant to talk about. But we've had 80 years of it now, and it doesn't work. Everybody can see in every single country, whether it's Britain or France or Germany or America or Australia or Canada, that it doesn't work, that it leads to conflict, that it leads to communities breaking down, that it destroys the social fabric, that it leads to disparate outcomes that adversely affect every single group. Everybody can see that it's failed. A couple of weeks back, I read from this book by Tony Blair, one of the architects of this system, and he said in there, I want to move beyond ideology, I want to look at the results without any ideological spectacles on, I want to look at actually what works and what does not work. How can anybody look at what the West has experienced over the past 80 years and say, well, that has worked. That has been a blinding success. No, it bloody hasn't. It hasn't. And in that period, other groups in Asia who have not adopted these stupid ideas, like the Chinese, for example, or Singapore is another decent example. Many other examples are available. People who have not adopted these stupid ideas have overtaken Europe. China's overtaken Europe. Europe has fallen behind while it's been adopting these stupid shithead ideas. The ideas of the American Empire. Individualism. Liberty. All crap. All crap. And it's leading to the destruction of the West. In real time. When's it going to end? Is it going to take, like, you know, this is the boomer truth regime that I talk about. When's it going to end? When is Tony going to wake up? Well, Tony's a boomer. Maybe every boomer needs to die before finally people have the guts to say, right, enough is enough of this. We have to start facing the fact, the actual facts of the differences between groups, and stop pretending like you can make, you know, an Englishman out of whoever. You can't do it. Maybe people need to experience different cultures and different ethnic groups and spend time with them. I have, by the way, by virtue of my background. I've seen other countries, I've seen other peoples. They're not the same. They have different ways, they have different preferences, they have different sensibilities. You can't kind of in one or two or three or four generations make all of that go away. In some very exceptional circumstances, you may get, you know, like, for example, you could get like a you know, a mixed marriage where somebody's brought up you know, in just one way, and therefore, you know, it's kind of, even then, those are not scalable, as I've talked about many, many times. That is not a scalable solution. That is looking at an exceptional case, right? That is like the argument where you know, do you remember I had that famous post where all discussions with women, the average height of women is 5'4". Oh, but I'm 5'8" though. That's just looking at the 5'8" and saying, oh, well, what about that one? That's irrelevant. The margin cases are actually irrelevant when it comes to the scale of this problem. So, what is liberalism's stupidest idea? What is its worst idea? differences between human groups are only cosmetic. That is its worst idea, and pretty much is the original sin of liberalism. And until this idea is basically abandoned, we're going to continue going on a downward trajectory. Simple as that. All right, pick up a course at the academic agency, buy it now, and I'll catch you next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.